Amen. I'm going to move this cord behind me because if I fall, it'll be on camera even. So let's not. Well, good morning. I just want to kind of give you guys a couple of announcements because there's like no good time or good place to really do that. And then we'll pray and dive in. First of all, we have Sunday school downstairs. Today is Hannah's last day, so if you're 3 to grade 4 or 5, you can join them downstairs. And then next week for the long weekend, the kids will be in the service with us until we kick off for fall. And speaking about fall kickoff, September 19th, I think it's like 3 weeks away, we are having like a kickoff. And there will be food and all of the things. I had tea this morning, not coffee, and let me tell you, I might regret that. So just bear with me. But yeah, so September 19th, mark your calendars. Most of you should be done vacationing and all of the things by then. And we just want to kind of get together and see each other and connect after not only a season of being apart, but also summer. So keep those two things in mind. Okay, let's just pause and pray. God, we thank you that even though we're broken, God, like we sung this morning, that you have poured out your life for us, Jesus, and that we have the opportunity to come and we can worship you. God, we can lift our voices and our hands to you, and we just ask that as we open your word, that you would continue to speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, and that you would equip us with the gospel of who you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week, I began preaching a series on discipleship, and we took a look at discipleship as a call to follow. What is a disciple? Who are we following, and how do we follow well? And if you missed it, or you want to hear those questions explored in depth, I encourage you to fire up your old interweb and take a listen on our website. But discipleship is this idea, we kind of came to the conclusion, that we're lifelong learners of Christ, and we do this by studying his word and through personal relationship with him, so that we may be recognized as others, as a people who are associated with Jesus. And then Paul writes and puts it as imitators of Christ. We're called to take up our cross daily here on earth so that we might partner with God in what he's already doing to build his kingdom. We prioritize God's ways and God's will, and we do this with a posture of humility. See, discipleship begins with a call to follow, but it doesn't end there. If we look at the scriptures and we decide to follow the example of Jesus, then one of the other things we also see is that we're called to serve. Discipleship is a call to serve. So I brought my Bible with me, but I brought my Bible with small font. So if you brought your Bible with you, you can open and turn to John 13. We're going to be there today. Rookie mistake, you know? Getting older, didn't bring my glasses or my big font Bible. So there's that. But if you read John 13, like, it's a pretty well-known passage. The little subtitle is Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And if you read this alongside the other Gospels, you can kind of paint a picture, like a bigger picture of what's happening here. It's the Passover meal. We like to call it the Last Supper. Jesus is gathered with his 12 disciples in this intimate meeting and room. But something interesting happens. An argument breaks out among them about who's the greatest. And we have this thing we do where we get really judgy and we're like, really? Like, who is the greatest? Like, you're eating with Jesus. No, I know that for the majority of us, we have looked across the room at one point or another and thought to ourselves, I am definitely doing better than they are. And that's just an unfortunate byproduct of the human condition. And so the disciples find themselves in this conversation of like, you know, and in the midst of this dinner time argument, Jesus gets up, takes off his outer garment, wraps a towel around his waist, fills the basin with water, gets down on the ground, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. See, this wasn't just the role of any servant in that culture. It was the lowest of the lows when it came to duties. Oftentimes, the Jewish people would reserve this role for a Gentile servant, even. It was an incredibly demeaning act for Jesus. And we don't actually have like a good comparison of what that would look like in our culture. But for me, I'm like, man, if Wayne Gretzky showed up to the hockey game and then took the place of water boy, or if the queen came over to dinner and then washed my dishes by hand, just maybe that helps me like glimpse a little bit of what was going on here. And so Jesus is washing their dirty feet. They're walking in sandals on foot in the dust. That is how they get around. And he gets to Peter. And Peter freaks out. And this is where we're going to pick up our text. And we're going to read verses 6 through 17. He, Jesus, came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. And when he, Jesus, had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Discipleship is a call to serve. I want to unpack a few things that are going on here. First, what is Jesus talking about when he says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me"? We can know, looking at the Bible, because we have the full picture, that Jesus is referring to his death and his resurrection and the cleansing of our sins that will come when he sheds his blood. So then why does this matter when it comes to serving practically? Like, what's the application here? Jesus washed the disciples' feet before he called them to do the same. Not only did Christ humble himself to the role of servant in the practical demonstrating and washing of the feet, but Paul also writes that he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. And so the order of these two things is everything. See, first, they are washed by Jesus, and then they are called to do the same. We must be washed by Jesus before we can do the same. Inward transformation, and then outward demonstration. Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet." Inward transformation, and then outward demonstration. If we get those two things reversed, we'll always be in a place of striving. We'll always be in a place of seeking approval from man and from God. Outward demonstration will never lead to inward transformation. First, he washed their feet, and then he called them to do the same. How do we serve one another well in humility? How do we put the needs of others before ourselves? How do we love in action? Inward transformation, and then outward demonstration. Second part that we want to just hone in on here is verse 12. It says, when he, Jesus, finished washing their feet, their feet, the disciples, all 12 of them. See, we have this intimate account in John of the last meal Jesus has with his 12 disciples before he's arrested, tried, and crucified. And the disciples don't totally grasp what's going on, but they've spent the better part of 3 years following and learning from Jesus. And they're arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest. And the leader gets down, takes off his outer garment, wraps the towel around his waist, gets on the ground, and washes all 24 feet with his own two hands. But in this same passage, we also read that Jesus knows who will betray him. And in a few moments, Jesus will also tell Peter that he will deny him. So not only did Jesus humble himself beyond what anyone would ever expect of a teacher or rabbi, let alone the Messiah, to do, but his love and his decision to serve his disciples wasn't affected by what he knew was to come. Let me say it simply. Jesus loved Judas and Peter and served them equally, even though one of them would betray him and the other one would deny him. One would betray him, and it would cost him his life, and the other one would deny him, not once, but three times. Man, what are we supposed to do with that? We don't get to pick and choose who we want to love and who we want to serve. We're given a variety of spiritual gifts. And we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit in June, and Pastor Rich preached on the spiritual gifts, and you can go back on the website and find that if you're curious to dive in there a little bit more. But we're given a variety of spiritual gifts to serve both our local community and the local church. So how we serve looks different because it's a blending of our personalities, our gifts, our abilities. Paul describes this well in Corinthians when he's talking about the body of Christ and how everyone is an integral piece, but it's made up of many parts. So yes, how we serve looks different for each of us, but who we serve isn't up for debate. Matthew 5:44, Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Matthew 7:12, Jesus says to do unto others as you would have them do to you. See, there's no asterisks. There's no exception to the golden rule. Each of us is given the same commandments, and if we want to be disciples of Jesus, if we want to follow well, then we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable when it comes to serving people and loving people who aren't like us. Inward transformation, outward demonstration, where there's no exclusion. We are washed from our sin by Jesus. We're called to wash the feet of one another, even to the Peters and the Judases in our life. See, this is a love that transcends race. It transcends your socioeconomic status. It's regardless of your job title, your gender, your age. It doesn't matter who you vote for. This type of love equally serves those who are both vaccinated and unvaccinated. But our society has forgotten that loving people and serving others doesn't mean you condone their choices, doesn't mean you agree with everything they believe. And Jesus demonstrates that truth the best throughout the Gospels for us. The Pharisees are constantly outraged by who he's hanging out with, who he's sharing a meal with, who is getting him water at the well. But I would argue that the greatest demonstration of this type of humble love and service was the cross. Because it's while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. In the midst of our brokenness, God loves you. Inward transformation, outward demonstration, and he does a really unique thing here. It starts with the people who are his disciples. See, he doesn't just call the world to love one another. He calls his followers to love and serve one another. And so we got to get comfortable with knowing who is in our local church family, serving and loving one another, and then taking that out to our community. It's got to start with us. Third and finally, Jesus reminds us, in case we have forgotten by this point, that no servant is above his master and no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. Before I was full-time in ministry, I spent 9 years in banking, and I had a variety of roles, but I started as a teller, and I was young and shy and super awkward, and we had this bank manager, and he was this older man, and he was very, like, always in a suit and all the things. And I remember being like, okay, like, he's pretty serious, like, he takes his job good, like, banking, like, this isn't like a blue-collar profession, like, whoo, here we go, my first real job. And we were a busy bank. Like, man, there was always a line. And sometimes we would be understaffed. And I remember the first time I saw him come out, log on to the computer, take off his suit coat, and just help people at the wicket. I was like, what? Like, I was blown away because this man was making a lot more money than I was as a bank teller. I can tell you that. He wasn't getting paid to give people cash or deposit checks. But to him, it didn't matter. To him, it was about setting an example of what the priority was there. And I can tell you, as I moved up in my different roles and as I spent time as a manager myself, I always thought of him, and I would jump on cash because he set a bar and he set an example of what was important, what spoke to the clients and what spoke to his team. Now, that's nothing in comparison to what Jesus has done for us. But it impacted my life because it was practical. He didn't see himself better than a teller. Last week, we looked at discipleship as a call to follow. Jesus called his disciples to be on mission with him, to be fishers of men. He called his disciples to pick up their cross and follow him, and he called his disciples to count the cost. Jesus also called his disciples to radical humility and servant leadership. Jesus called his disciples to love the unlovable and do it in practical and tangible ways. As followers of Jesus, you and I are called to do those same things. Man, Rich isn't here, Pastor Rich. But I cannot tell you the number of mornings I come in the winter and he's already shoveled around the building. Like, we are blessed to have a senior pastor who sees this and lives it out. And if he was here, he'd be really uncomfortable that I'm saying these things about him. But it's true, and it's important for us to recognize that. And so we follow Jesus' example. And we know that we have a shepherd of this church who also follows Jesus' example. I want to just close with some questions to reflect on. We've been doing a lot of talking the last 2 weeks, and we're going to continue to talk about in the weeks to come being a disciple of Jesus. And I wanted to say that maybe you personally are here and you actually haven't responded to that call. Like, maybe you're sitting here in the building, but most likely you're sitting at home watching and listening, and you're still counting the cost, and you still aren't sure. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to say yes to Jesus? Because you aren't signing up for an easy life, but you are signing up for a life of purpose and a life where you have restored relationship with God. And putting your trust in Jesus is the most important decision that you will ever make. There's no big secret or moment. Just pray in faith and tell him, Jesus, I'm ready to follow. The second question is this. Maybe some of you are listening and you feel like a Peter. Maybe you knew Jesus. You called him Lord and Messiah, but you have chosen to deny him because life got hard and you kind of freaked out and you weren't sure what was going on. Man, friend, I need to tell you that we serve a God of love and grace and compassion and mercy. And you just have to ask for forgiveness because the answer is yes. And then pick up your cross and follow Jesus. For the rest of us who would say that, yes, we are disciples of Christ, are you serving both your local church and your local community in love and humility, in practical and tangible ways? See, maybe you serve in one area and not another. I'll be gentle in reminding you that we're called to be good stewards, and that's good stewards of our time and our energy and our resources, and that you will always have time for the things that matter to you. And so, are you serving both your local church and your local community? I recognize that many of you in this room have lived through the burnout for Jesus era. Man, we got that wrong. And I'm sorry that, you know, maybe your resources weren't stewarded well. Maybe they were taken advantage of. But we're still called to learn from that and to serve practically today. You never reach a point where you can say, I've done my time. Remember, how we serve looks different. But who we serve, or the fact that we serve, doesn't. And finally, do you love your enemies? Do you pray for the people who persecute you? We don't really understand persecution well in the West. We're actually going to talk a bit more about that next week. Spoiler alert. But if I ask the people in your life, if you loved your enemies, what would they say? Discipleship is a call to follow. Discipleship is a call to serve. Inward transformation, outward demonstration, no exclusions. We're going to pray, and then we're going to worship God with one last song. And in that time, just invite the Holy Spirit to just speak to you. I feel convicted. I feel challenged. Man, do I pray for the people who just, But we gotta. God, this morning we thank you that your word is like a double-edged sword, and it brings truth and it brings life. God, you didn't come to condemn the world, you came to save the world. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love extended to us. Help us to humble ourselves, to follow you, to wash the feet of those around us, to do it well. God, not just so that we can say we're doing it, but because it flows from a place of inward transformation. God, we love because you've loved. Help us to be a people of grace. God, who are starting to get used to being uncomfortable with going out and loving those who are different from us. That the community around us would see how well we love each other first, and that you would be glorified because of it. Unify us. Not uniformity, but unity. Holy Spirit, we trust you to speak to us today. As we pour out our praise and our worship and our prayers for one last song, God, we know that it doesn't end here. So continue to speak to us and challenge us and give us the opportunity to put into practice the things we've learned this morning all week, to build upon your word in our life. And God, when we miss the mark, help us to forgive ourselves, to ask you for forgiveness, and just to keep moving forward. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Amen.